Today's daf is Shavuos Daf Mem Zayin. We're drawing close to the end of Masechta Shavuos. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Avishai and Elishev Numa, L'schusha for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frumit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya. They should both have Rufu Shlema B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. So we are going to discuss today, we're going on in our elaboration of the Mishnah, that the long Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. So we left off at the two dots, the last two dots on the page, on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, at V'shekenegdo Chashal Shavua V'afilu Shavua Shav. So first we're going to discuss what the Chiddush is, that someone who's Chashal Al Shavua Shav, more than Chashal in any other type of Shavua, is we're going to make a Takana, that the opposite party would be Nishpa V'notel. Why would I think a Shavua Shav is any different than anybody else? Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that we give examples of people who are not Neman to take a Shavua, who are Pasul. Why do we have to mention like a Masachik Pekuvi? Isn't it obvious what the normal examples are? And then the Gemara is going to discuss the line in the Mishnah where we said that if they're both chashud al shvua, shnein chashud al shvua, then we add a machlokas. Do we say chazra shvua l'makoma, or do we say yachloku? So first we're going to try to figure out who says what in that machlokas, because we certainly have one version in our Mishnah, but the Gemara is going to try to sort out whether that is the accurate version and which shita we paskin like. Strangely, only after we figure out which shita we paskin like, we then try to figure out what they mean. Meaning, what the shita that says chazra shvua l'makoma, what does that mean? Where does the shvua go back to? Who's taking shvua? Does anybody take the shvua? What exactly does that mean? So we're going to have the opinion of the Rabbi Seinu Sheb Bavel and the Rabbi Seinu Sheb Eretz Yisrael. We're going to identify who the Rabbi Seinu Sheb Bavel are, who the Rabbi Seinu Sheb Eretz Yisrael are, and we're going to show how we know that they hold what we claim they hold as far as chazra shvua l'makoma. In the course of that discussion, we're going to mention someone by the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Tarfon. So once we mention Shimon ben Tarfon, we're going to mention a couple of other teachings, three other teachings actually, that Shimon ben Tarfon taught us. He doesn't come up all that often in Shas. So I guess once we mention him here, we sort of empty out the whatever we know from Shimon ben Tarfon. Then the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that the Chacham Mor Misakein, that a Chen V'Nial Pinkaso has to take a Shvua. What was the motivation of such a Takana? And then the Gemara, the final sugi on the daf, which is going to go into tomorrow's daf, is going to discuss the classic case of Shtei Kitei Edim Hamachishos Zu Azu. What do you do if you have two sets of Edim that contradict each other? Where does that sort of stalemate leave us in terms of the Halacha? So let's begin again. We're at the two dots on Daf Mem Vavim Beis V'Shekenegdo Chashur Al Shvua. So we said whether it's Shvua Se'edos, Shvua Se'pikadon, or even Vafilu Shvua Shav, even if the person is Chashur on a Shvua Shav, we make a Takana that the other person has to be Nishpa V'Notel instead of the person who really would have been Chayev the Shvua but is unable to take a Shvua because he is Chashur on a Shvua. So it says Gemara, my Afilu Shvua Shav, what is this Lashon of even a Shvua Shav? Why is there a greater chiddush that someone who's chashal Shvua Shav more so than Shvua Zeh Shvua Bikadon, that we have to measure afilu Shvua Shav? That's the so says Gemara. Let me buy you ka'amar. No, well, the Mishnah is telling us sort of like an ain sarach lomar kind of statement. Let me buy a hanach nisbu kfiras mamon. You don't even need to say that if a person has violated one of the other types of shvuas, like Shvua Seedos, Shvua Bikadon, whereby by violating those shvuas there's a kfiras mamon. So obviously he's going to be puzzled for any future Shavua. The person swears in a way that will cost somebody else money or save himself money unjustly. So if such a person is Chayev Shavua, obviously Shekenegdo Nishpa V'Notal, because this person is Muchzak, that he's a liar. He doesn't mind taking a Shavua that's untrue, even though it costs the other party money. Ela Afilu Hanami, no, but the great Chiddush is that even if all he ever violates it was a Shvua Shav, which seems like a harmless lie. It's a victimless lie. What is a Shvua Shav? You take a Shvua that's something that's obvious or something that's obviously not. That this table is a table or that this table is a chair. Either way, it's something that's just ridiculous. It doesn't affect anybody. There is no victim to a Shvua Shav. Tikfiras Dvarim Bialmuhu, that's all it is. So Lo Mehemin, now the Chiddush is that even such a person cannot take a Shvua, even when there are stakes to the Shvua. You might say, he's not going to lie when there's actually something riding on the line with regard to a Shavua. He's only going to take a Shavua Shav because he doesn't take Shavua so seriously. But if Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, something's riding on it, he's He's not gonna. There's no reason to mistrust him. So says the Mishnah. Yes, there is. That even a shvua shav. So the Gemara says, okay. So if by a shvua sheker without a kfiras mamon, he's pasul the shvua. Listening nami shvua's bitoy. Then why don't we mention someone who violates shvua's bitoy? Someone says that he's going to do something and then doesn't do it. He takes a shvua that he's going to do something and then he doesn't do it, or a shvua that he's not going to do something and then he does it. That's also a violation of a shvua. As we've learned about it extensively earlier in the Masechta, the pasuk says, "O nefesh ki si shava levate b'svasayim la'ara le'hitiv le'kol asher yivate adam b'shvua." So that pasuk teaches us the din of shvua's bitoy bein lahabad, that he swears that he's going to do something or not do something, and then he violates that, or bein l'sha'avar, that he swears l'sheker that he has done something or hasn't done something. So why don't we mention that as well? So says Marno, ki katani shvua d'chi kamishtava b'shikra kamishtava. We're only mentioning a shvua that at the time that he takes a shvua, he's already a liar. So if he's taking a shvua about a pikadon and he says, I don't have this pikadon, or it was something, or shvua se'edus, I don't know any testimony, at the time that he's telling that shvua, he is already a liar. But if he says, I will do something later, he might actually plan on doing it later at the time that he takes the shvua. He only becomes a liar retroactively when it turns out that he doesn't do it. But at the time that he took the shvua, he's not a liar yet. It could be that he was telling the truth at the time. He just didn't realize that he wasn't going to have the willpower to do it, or the opportunity to do it, or whatever his reasons might be. So lokatani, that's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Not just lokatani, it's not mentioned in the Mishnah pashtus because such a person would not be chashar al shvua, and he is neman to take a shvua to be motzi mamon from somebody else. That's how Rashi understands that when we say lokatani over here, it doesn't just mean that, yeah, really, someone who's chashar on the shvua's bito is also possible from ever taking a shvua in Beis Din, and we would also make a takana that the other guy is nishba in a hotel. It's just that lokatani, we don't mention it. No, he's not listed in the Mishnah because he doesn't belong in the Mishnah. He's actually neman. He has done nothing to lose his credibility because when he takes the shvua, he really means it. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos, however, quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that even someone who's chashal shvua's bitoy lahaba is considered chashal shvua, and he's not neman to be nishba v'notel. And the Gemara only intends to explain over here why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is only mentioning those cases where a person has violated the isser of the shavua at the very moment that the shavua was made. So the Rishonim quote that the reason of Rabbeinu Tam is that even though you can't passel him because he violated Shvua Sheker, because it could be that he went at the time that he took the Shvua, he was saying the MS, but still we have to passel him because he violated the Yisr of Lo Yachal Dvaro, and that's no worse than a Malva Beribis, it's no better than a Malva Beribis or anyone else that's listed on in the Mishnah who's passel the Edus and therefore passel the Shavua. So, meaning, Enochinami, this is not a person who is chashur on Shavua, but he's chashur on a significant Yisr in the Torah, because it's chasra on an isser and a significant isser in the Torah, that alone would passel him. So you understand very well why it doesn't get listed in the Mishnah amongst those who are chasra on the shvua, because it's not the shvua that he's chasra on, but he still is not going to be allowed to take a shvua because he's chasra like any other major avarian. That's how they understand the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Says the Gemara, is that really true of every shvua's bitway, that at the time you take the shvua, you're not yet allowed? Liar. Tenach ochel velo ochel. If the shvua was that I will eat or that I won't eat, and then you didn't follow through, so I understand you're not a liar at the time. But what if achalti velo achalti mayik lemeimar? What if the shvua was about the past? I did eat or I didn't eat. So how could you say he's not a liar at the very time that he takes the very moment that he takes the shvua? Shouldn't we say that that's enough? That would passel him from the shvua, and therefore it belongs in the Mishnah as one of the examples where Shekinegdo is nishba v'notel. So says Gemara, Tana Shvur Shav v'kol didamile. The Tana taught Shvur Shav, and we assume included in that is every other Shvur l'sheker that is similar to Shvur Shav, in that it is about something that already is. Meaning Shvur's bitoy is not mentioned for the future because of the reason that we said he's not yet a liar. Shvur's bitoy of the past is sort of included in Shvur Shav, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, and that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. But so that's the discussion about Shvur Shav. Says the Gemara further now. The Mishnah went on to to tell us. Hayechon men misachik bekuvia. If one of them was a gambler, we gave examples of people who are pasul and cannot take the shvua. So we said, so we make a takana midrabanan shekinegdo nishba benotel, that the other guy is going to take the shvua and get paid. Frek the Gemara hasulamli. Why does the Mishnah have to give examples of psule shvua? We already said someone who swore the sheker one time is considered a chashud al shvua, even though that was only talking about a shvua, and he's therefore possible to take another shvua. A gazlan is not chashud on shvua; he's chashud on stealing money, and l'chara that's an additional chiddush. So it's hard to understand what the Gemara's kasha is over here. I mean, the Gemara seems to be asking, you already told me people are possible to shvua, don't take a shvua. Yeah, but now we're telling you something else. We're telling you people who never took a false shvua in their lives. People who've done other things. They've stolen money. Gezel midrabanan, asmachta, whatever forms of stealing money. So l'chara, there's a greater chiddush, because a chash almano the chiddush is that someone who's chash almamono is chash to take a shvur sheker as well. But apparently that's an obvious enough point that the Gemara thinks that we could ask that. That isn't it a davar pashut. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Tana starts out with people who are apostle shvua minatora, someone who's actually violated shvua, and then it tells us people who are apostle midrabanan, like a mesachik bekuvia, who's violated only an isser midrabanan by being mesachik bekuvia. So even by such a person, we say shekinegdo chashur ala shvua. Rashi explains the fact that he's not apostle minatora is because the Torah only apostles someone who's chotef bekoach miyad chavero, someone who forcefully takes money from somebody else. So it sounds that he holds that asmachta is ein akonim min haTorah, and the mamon is in fact considered gezel. It's just that it wouldn't pasul you b'shvua because you didn't do it in a forceful kind of fashion, even though it in fact really is gezel. And that's in fact what the Ritva writes in Meseches Rosh Hashanah as well. However, the Mordechai writes that the Ikra din is asmachta, that asmachta is ein akonim is only midrabanan. Midar Raisa, you're not a gazlan at all. It's not just that midar Raisa, you're a gazlan, but we can't pasul you because the form of gezela that you chose to do is such a passive type of form of gezela, so it's not going to pasul you mishvua. No, mida oraisa, you're totally kosher. It's only considered gezela in the first place, midrabanan. When Rashi says the reason he's pasul is because asmachta enakona, that obviously, as we mentioned before, is subject to a machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Machlokas why it is that a mesachik bekuvia is pasul Le'edus. Rav Sheshes over there holds a masachah b'kuvia is not considered a smachta, and his psul le'edus is totally different. It's because he's ain't no osek b'yeshuvo shalolam, and that's the sheet of many rishonim, that it really has nothing to do with a smachta. But our Gemara seems to assume the way Rashi understands that we're dealing that masachah b'kuvia is in fact a violation of a smachta, of a form of gezel midrabanan. Okay, then we said, are you shnei and chashudin? And this is going to be the primary sugi of today's daf. Let's say both parties are chashur al shvua. So normally, if one party is the one who should have been taking the shvua is chashur al shvua, so we make a din drabanan and let the other guy take the shvua. What if both parties are chashur al shvua? So we had a machlokas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi had said chazra shvua de makoma. Unclear exactly what that means. Rabbi Meir says yachloku. Pretty clear what that means. That they split the money. So Amalei Rav Rav Nachman. Heichitnan. Which shita is Rabbi Yossi's shita? Which shita is Rabbi Meir's shita? Meaning we weren't so sure of our tradition of the text of our Mishnah. Apparently there were those people that taught that Rabbi Meir said yachloku, and those people that taught that Rabbi Yossi is one that says yachloku. The nafkamina would be, how do you paskin lahalacha? Because we have Gemara Neiruv and Daf Mem Vav, that whenever there's machlokas from Meir Rabbi Yossi, the rule is halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. So it's very critical to know. You know, it's not just a name, it's a halacha, because you know that you're going to have to paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So hechi tanan, amalei lo yadana, he says, I don't know, hilchas amai. Well, okay, maybe we can investigate this backwards then. How do we paskin? Maybe if you figure out how we paskin, we'll then know who says what. Amalei lo yadana, you know, if I knew that, I would know hechi tanan also. So itmar, so it was said in the base medrash, the Rav Yosef, Rav Yomi, Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Yachloku, v'chein tanan Rav Zid Baroshia, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Yachloku. It is Rabbi Yossi who says Yachloku, not like we have in our Mishnah. Igada Amri Tani Rav Zid Amr Rav Oshia, Rabbi Yossi Amr Yachloku. Amr Rav Yosef Parmin Yomei, Avad Rav Nachman Uvda Yachloku. That's why Rav Nachman Nachman paskin yachloku, which means he paskins against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has that. It's Reb Meir that says yachloku. He would never paskin that way. The fact that he paskins yachloku means that he holds that it's Reb Yossi who says yachloku. They're both chashud, so the nitva has to pay half of the money. Even though Rav Nachman is one that said, you know, that was the original conversation. Rava said to Rav Nachman, Hechi Tanan. Rav Nachman was one that responded that in Yodea. He's the one that said, Lo Yadani. He's the one that said, I don't know. Now we're telling us, oh, by the way, Rav Nachman, in his Beis Din, Rav Nachman was known as a great expert in Dina Mamedes. In his Beis Din, he paskined Yachloku. So it must be that Rav Nachman, at some later date, finally discovered what the tradition was, what the proper tradition was. That Rabbi Yossi, in fact, was the one who says Yachloku, and that's why he was Machriya the Halacha that way. That's how Tosfos says how to reconcile the two statements of Rav Nachman. Now, the Gemara does not explain why. Why is it Yachloku? So Tosfos writes in Dibra Maskam Mitokshay and Yachlush of Mishan, Tosfos writes that in name of Rabbeinu Tam, that they hold like Rabbi Abba, who we're going to quote later on, that some is Mukhiv Shur and is in Yachlishava, Mitokshay. Someone who's chayav shvua and can't take the shvua has to pay. So really, the nitva should have had to pay everything because it's his chayav shvua on a daraisa level. He's unable to take the shvua. The toveah is also chayav in a shvua midrabanan. He's not able to take the shvua, but in shvua's drabanan, we don't say this call that someone who's einu yachal shava loses out. But nevertheless, since the reason the toveah is not taking the shvua is because he's also chashud, so they made a knas that on the fact that he's chashud, that he loses half of the money. That's what Rabbeinu Tam understands, that it works partially with the mechanism of mitok sheni yachal lishav mishalim, and partially with the knas midrabanan to the other guy of, come on, what's the matter with you? Why are you chashud al shvua? That's terrible, and therefore you're going to end up losing half the money also. That's how they arrive at the conclusion that it's yachloku. The Ritva writes that Rabbi Yossi and Rav Nachman had a suffix in the discussion of the Amoraim about what Rav Meir held, whether a person is Ein Yachli Shava, a Shvua that's Mutalis Lev, does he lose out or not? And because of that, he passes Yachloku, meaning the upcoming Sugya. Chazra Shvua L'Makoma. The other Shita, the one that we don't pass the mic, says, no, we don't say Yachloku, Chazra Shvua L'Makoma. What on earth does that mean, Chazra Shvua L'Makoma? Where does the Shvua go back? What happens with the money? Lehechan Chazra. So the Gemara tells us two opinions. Amr Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Senu Shebavel Amru, a group of rabbis who are labeled Rabbi Senu Shebavel say, Chazra Shvua L'Sinai. It means the Shvua goes back to Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia Klal Yisrael in Har Sinai, Lo Sigzol. So, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay back from someone who is Gozel Chavero. But the Beis Din doesn't touch it. The Beis Din is not able to enforce any sort of Shvua over here, because both the Toveya and the Nitva are Chashra on the Shvua, and therefore nobody has to pay anything. Meaning, this is the general assumption of the way a Beis Din works, and this is why this is probably the best explanation for why it is that it's so hard to punish somebody in Beis Din with Eidim, Hasra, how many crimes can be committed, and you know, you're never going to be able to empower Beis Din to do anything. The guy will get away with everything. How do we allow that to happen? So the truth is, if we see that society is falling apart, so then Beis Din is Makan Vonchin Shalom and Adin. They could do whatever it takes to run a proper society. But otherwise, it's very difficult to punish criminals in Beis Din. And probably the best explanation for that is that Beis Din works with the assumption that there is a Ribono Shel Olam who ultimately will even the score. I mean, that's just the nature, that's the nature of the way Beis Din works, that the Ribono Shel Olam will ultimately take care of everything. No other system of law could work with that assumption, because then it's just, you know, it's just not going to work. It's not going to follow through on everything. But Beis Din works with that assumption. So yeah, Chazrush Shvul Sinai means we're not going to do anything. But don't worry, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that what's supposed to happen is going to happen. Rabbi Seinu Shaber Tzral Amru Chazrush Shvul Lemechuyevla. Rabbi Seinu Shaber Tzral disagreed. They say it goes back to the Nitva, because the Nitva is the Moda B'Miktzas, right? He's the one that was really Chayev Shvua Midaraisa Midrabanan. He wasn't able to take the Shvua, so it would have been really nice if the other guy could have done it. But Nebuch, we live in such a society where both parties in the Din Torah are Chashra al-Shvua. Okay, so then we go back to the Din Torah. The Din Midaraisa is that the Nitva is Chayiv, the Shvua is Mother Mitzvah. And since he can't, he has to pay. That's always the din. When you have someone who's chayiv a shvur and he can't take the shvur, so meila, he's going to have to pay. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Hussein Shabbavel, Rav Shmuel, Rav Hussein Shabbar Yisrael, Rabbi Abba. The Rav Hussein Shabbavel is Rav and Shmuel, the Rav Hussein Shabbar Yisrael is Rabbi Abba. I mean, we're just identifying who the parties are over here. Rav Hussein Shabbavel, Rav Shmuel. So Rav Papa proves, how do I know Rav Hussein Shabbavel are Rav and Shmuel, that when the Taveya and the Nitva are not able to take the Shvuah, Chazru Shvuah, the Sinai, no one pays anything? Titznan, because we had a Mishnah, the Chena Yisomin Lo Yiparu El B'Shvuah, that Yisomim can only get paid with a Shvuah. Vavinunba, Miman, who are the Yisomim coming to collect a Chov from, that we say they have to take a Shvuah? If it's a case where someone borrowed money from their father, they have a shtar that says that someone owed their father money, that they have to take a shvuah, that they don't know that this chov was paid, they have no information of this chov ever being paid. The father would have taken the money without a shvuah. He has a shtar. He doesn't have to take a shvuah that it wasn't paid. He has a shtar. He gets paid. And now the yisomim, we're gonna require that the yisomim take a shvuah. So that's very difficult. Meaning there is a general movement to always try to be easier on Yisomim. We generally don't try to make life more difficult for Yisomim based on just the Ratzon HaTorah, the fact that the Torah tells us in so many different places how nice you have to be to Yisomim. So that's what Tosfos writes in Maseches B'Metzia, that Ba'alila Mu'etes Yesh Lanu L'Hakel Al Yisomim, Tosfos writes. Whatever it takes, we're always trying to be Mekel on the Yisomim. So it's not Mistavar at all that the father in his place would not have had to take the Shvuah, but the Yisomim are now going to have to take a Shvuah. So that can't be what we're talking about. Elahach Kamar. No, the Mishnah means to say as follows. V'cheina yisomin mina yisomin lo yipara ela b'shvua. Yisomin who are getting paid from other yisomin. Both the malva and the lova died. So the yisomin ha-malva are coming to collect from the yisomin ha-lova. So they have to take a shvua that their father didn't tell them, didn't inform them before he died that it was already paid up. V'rav u'shmuel d'armit ravayu. And then Rav and Shmuel comment on that. This din that the Yisomei Malva have to swear to collect from the Yisomei Lova is only when the Malva died first, and then the Lova died. But if the borrower died first and then the lender, the Yorshei HaMalva do not collect anything from the Yorshei HaLova, because at the time that the Lova died, Kvar Nischayv Malva LeBnei Lova Shvua, the Malva would have had to take a Shvua to the Bnei Lova, because you're not allowed to collect from Yisomim without a Shvuah. So if you would have frozen that moment in time where the Lova is dead, the borrower is dead, and the Malva is still alive, that Malva would only be able to collect from that Lova with a Shvuah. And a malva cannot be morish to his children the mammon that he's chayiv a shvua in order to be able to collect, because the yisomei malva can't take a shvua that their father would have been able to collect, that the chov wasn't paid. The yisomei alova are not able to take a shvua that the chov is perua, because they don't know that it was or was not perua, and therefore Rav and Shmuel hold in such a case both sides are not able to take a shvua. The halacha is the yisomei malva are not able to collect anything from the Yisomei Alova. So what you see from that is, when two people are Chashon HaShvua, Rav and Shmuel hold that there is no Shvua, and there's therefore no payment. So Rabbi Seinu Shabbavel, who hold Chazra Shvua L'Sinai, and therefore nobody pays anybody, is Rav and Shmuel. Because this, although in this case, it's not Chashud, it's not that both parties are Chashud al Shvua, but it's that both parties know nothing. Nebuchadnezzar, they don't know anything about their father's business. So Mela, none of them are able to take a Shvua. So if none of them are able to take a Shvua, so that's exactly the same as both parties being Chashur al-Shvua, where it goes back to Sinai and nobody is able and nobody gets paid. Who are the Rabbi Sein Shabbat Yisrael disagree? Rabbi Sein Shabbat Yisrael, Rabbi Abba. That is, Rabbi Sein Shabbat Yisrael will hold that it goes back to the Din Daraisa, that the one who's Chayiv the Shvua on the Daraisa level, since he can't take the Shvua, he has to pay, that is Rabbi Abba. Why? Dehu gavri dechot of Nascha Mechavrei. A famous case. A guy took something, he took a piece of silver from his friend. He grabbed it out of his hand. Asal Kameh Rabbi Ami. So the Din Torah came in front of Rabbi Ami. Yosef Rabbi Abba Kameh. Rabbi Abba was sitting in front of Rabbi Ami. I see Chadzad the Machtav Chatvamine. The Toveah brought one witness. He didn't have two. One witness that this person mugged him, that he grabbed this silver out of his hand. Amalei in chatvi, v'didi chatvi. The nitva says, you're right. Yeah, I absolutely did. I grabbed it because it belonged to me. It was mine. You stole it from me. Am Rabbi Ami, heich l'dayna dayna l'haydina. So Rabbi Ami said, what are we supposed to do as dayanim in this case? Namely, zil shalim, should we tell the nitva to pay him? Because he has a chazakah that everything that's that a person has possession of, we assume is his, and a chotef from someone else is not neman to say that what he was grabbing was his own thing. Yeah, but like a treisadi, there are no two edim that even grabbed it in the first place. And even though he admits that he grabbed it, but he has a migo, that migo that he could have said that he didn't grab it at all, he should be believed to say that it was his. So niftarei, what's the other option? Should we pater him legamri because of that migo? Ika chatzada, but there's an eid echad against him. So namely zil ishtava, should we tell him that he has to take a shvua d'araisa because an eid is mechayiv him a shvua to contradict that eid? Now kivin damar michtav chatvi havalei kegazlan. If he says michtav chatvi, he admits that he actually grabbed it. So then he's like a gazlan who's pashul shvua. He's not allowed to take a shvua. He's pashul to take a shvua min haTorah. So he can't take a shvua about this either. But there's another reason why he can't take the shvua over here. He's not really contradicting anything the eid said. That's the other reason that he can't take a shvua. So either way, we're stuck. So Amle Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Ami, have a mechuyav shvuyah ve'eno yachli shava. So Rabbi Abba is one that says, so what do you do if someone's chayav shvua and he's not able to take a shvua? Call mechuyav shvua ve'eno yachli shava mishalem. So you see, Rabbi Abba is the one that holds that whenever someone's chayav take a shvua and he's not able to, he has to pay. So over here as well, and they're both chashra l'shvua, chazra shvua l'makama, means the original party who is really chayav the shvua midarai says eno yachli, he's not able, and therefore he's going to have to be mishalem. Now, the whole very idea that Rabbi Abba was sitting kameid Rabbi Ami, Tosos finds interesting. Tosos, of your points out, mashma shei talmido. Sounds like Rabbi Abba was a talmid of Rabbi Ami. V'hadukari le'el Rabbi Ami rabosenu. But Rabbi Ami is the one that identified. Who are the rabosenu shever Yisrael? It's Rabbi Abba. Why does he call him rabosenu if he was his talmid? Sachinami matzinu beperek chavis shakara rav rabosenu l'ravkan ravasi shei talmidav. Sometimes a rebbe calls his talmidim, if they're very chashav talmidim, he'll refer to them as rabosenu. So that's not really such a kasha. We have that elsewhere in Shas as well. Aval kashim perkel mitzias. Rabbi Ami ashkach pargios shchutos bein tveri letzipori. That Rabbi Abba found certain birds that were shechted between Tveri and Tzipori. Asel kamed Rabbi Abba, and he came to Rabbi Abba. Amalei zil shkol nafshech. Amaloi Rabbi Abba talmido. He went to ask the shaila to Rabbi Abba. You don't ask your talmidim shailas. So svarim the garsi asel kamed Rabbi Asi nicha tvei. If you say that he came to Rabbi Asi, it's better. The avkav Rabbi Ami ha yoser gadol min Rabbi Asi to become makom masker Rabbi Ami kodem Rabbi Asi ubani. Even though it doesn't exactly fit that he would have asked the Shaila to Rabbi Asi because he was greater than Rabbi Asi, but at least they were, you know, they were somewhat equals. They were contemporaries. So very often you'll have Rabbanim, you know, not every time one rabbi is Shoal Eitza from another rabbi, does that mean that the one that's Shoal Eitza is kafuf to the other one, that he's on a lower level? No, sometimes a person just has Eitza. So that wouldn't be such a problem. It could be that he rose in the ranks. Rabbi Ami originally was a Talmud, but then ultimately he rose up in the ranks and he became someone who was who even his Rebbeim came and asked their Shailas to. Okay, Amar Rava, Kavased Rabbi Abba Mistabra. It's Mistabra like Rabbi Abba that a person who's not able to take the Shvua that he's chayv midal raisa is ultimately going to have to pay everything over here. Ditani Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Ami taught, it says in the pasuk Shvuas Hashem, Tihia Bein Shneim, the Lashon of Bein Shneim teaches us that it's only between the Tovei and the Nitva themselves that there's a chiyuv Shvua. Velo Bein Yarshin, but Yarshim are not going to have to take a Shvua. Say Chidami, what's the case? If the Yorish HaToveya says to the Yorish HaNitva, your father owed my father money, and the Yorish HaNitva says back that Chamishin Nisle, Chamishin Lesle, he owed him not 100, but he owed him 50. Malihu, Maliavua. What difference does it make if it's the Yorshim or the father's? It's a classic case of Modim Mitzvahs, and just like the father would be Chayiv Shvua if he was Modim Mitzvahs, the Yorish should also be Chayiv Shvua. Elulav Damle, Manalab, Biadavicha, Varmale, Chamishin Yadana, Chamishin Lo Yadana. Now the case is, he claims, your father or my father $100, the other guy says back, $50 I don't know that $50 I know about. The other $50 I'm willing to pay. The $50 I know about. The other $50 I don't know if my father owed that money or not. So he's a modu b'miksas ataina, but he's potter from a shvuas modu b'miksas because he doesn't have to know whether his father owed the rest of the money. Meaning, had it been the father, he'd be chayv the shvuas modu b'miksas. What do you mean you don't know? You have to know when you make a deal with somebody. But the yosom here, the yoresh, how's he supposed to know? So the Gemara says iam rebishlama aviv ki agav. If you say that the love himself, when he's modeh b'chamishim, and he says eino yodeh on the other chamishim, that he'd be chayiv to pay because he's eino yachal shava. Meaning, if you were to say that that's in fact the halacha, what Rabbi Ami has been teaching us the whole time, that anyone who's unable to pay, to take a shvua memela has to pay. So it's rechral the miftar gabay yorshim. I understand why I need a pasuk to tell me, but the yorshim in that same position don't have to take a shvua and therefore don't have to pay. But if you hold that even the father in that situation would have been potter, the father himself wouldn't have had to pay. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that a yorish is potter from such a shvua? The father himself is potter from such a shvua. So that's why it's most mistaver that Rabbi Abba is correct. That the father in such a predicament, if he's eino yochel yishava because he's eino yodea, he's going to have to be mishalim, he's going to have to pay. And therefore, necessarily, when both sides are chashed al shvua, we go back to the original guy who's chayv of the shvua and say, you know what, if you can't take the shvua that you're really obligated to take, then you're going to have to pay. The Rav Shmuel, but what about Rav Shmuel who disagreed with that? Remember, Rav and Shmuel were the ones who said, Chazra Shvua l'Sinai. The Shvua goes back to Sinai, nobody pays anything, they're both sides are Chashud. What do they do with the Pasuk of Shvua Hashem Bein Shneim? They obviously don't darshan v'lo bein ayarshim. So they use it to teach what the following Braisa tells us, and with this we introduce a Tana who comes up rarely in Shas, apparently. Shimon ben Tarfon Omer. Shimon ben Tarfon says, Shavuos Hashem Tia ben Shneim, Melamit Shavua Chala al Shneim. That teaches us that the punishment for a shavua that's taken falsely does not fall squarely on the shoulders of the person who lied, of the person who took that false shavua. Some of the guilt lies with the other party. Meaning, a person is expected to have very good record keeping so that he'll be able to prove his point when a din Torah were to come up. And if it comes to a shvua only happens because Beis Din isn't absolutely certain of what the halach is. That's the only time we ever get to a shvua. If a person had really good record keeping, really good edim, really good shtaros, it never would have come to that. So some of the guilt lies with the party that was lied to, not the party that took the shvua sheker. Obviously, the guilt is not 50-50, but that's the chiddush of the pasuk, that it's bein shneihem, that the guilt is the chilul Hashem of a shvua sheker somehow applies to both of them. That's how Rashi and Tosfos understand. The Rimi Gashem stands a little bit differently, not for lack of record keeping, but you know that the guy that you're having a monetary dispute with is lying to your face, right? You know that he's someone who owes you money, and he's claiming that he doesn't owe you money. It has to at least occur to you that if you force him into a shavua, that he's going to take a shavua sheker also. Meaning, if he's willing to lie to you, and he's willing, so you know, it's just one step further to lie under oath. So it's possible that he's going to. So by being toveya, a person who you know is someone who's likely to be to take a shvua l'sheker, says the Rimi Gash, that might also be part of the guilt that we're discussing over here. Then the Rimi Gash says maybe it doesn't mean every single time that the guilt is shared by both parties, but sometimes the shvua is chal on the nitva when he's nishva l'sheker, and sometimes chal on the tovea when he's tovea for no reason and he's mashpil levatala when he has no real reason to be tovea him. He's just trying to cause extra shvuas. Maybe that's all it means, but not that the guilt is shared by both parties. Stam, when one guy is a liar and a lowlife and the other guy is just trying to recoup his money, so that's a little bit harsh to say that the guilt is with both parties. Okay, once we quote that Rabbi Shimon, this Shimon ben Tarfon, so we mention a few other things that Shimon ben Tarfon says. Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Ashara lo okay vachar noef minayin. How do I know that a person who's not an adulterer himself, but he arranges for adulterous relationships? That's an okev achar noev. That, I don't know if he takes a fee or he just gets some sort of sick satisfaction out of doing this, but he's okev achar noev. He arranges for adulterous relationships. Where do we find an isra in the Torah for doing that? Tamalomar lo sinaf. The Torah says lo sinaf, and we darshan as if it says lo san if, that a person should make sure that adultery is avoided. Not only that he himself doesn't do it, but he should stay away from anything that might encourage it. So it says that's one thing that Shimon ben Tarfon said. Now we move on to the second teaching of Shimon ben Tarfon, the second external teaching of Shimon ben Tarfon. It says by the Chedal Meraglim, after the Meraglim told the Jewish people that the land is the people are giants there. Whenever vateirognu va'alechem, the pasuk says Shimon ben Tarfon Omer that we darshan the words vateirognu va'alechem tartem v'gnisem ba'alo shalmakom. You've spied out the land and now you denigrated HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who put his ohel beinechem, who was willing to put his tent amongst you, who was willing to have his shechinah shorah amongst Klal Yisrael, and now you have denigrated him, you have disrespected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then a third teaching of Shimon ben Tarfon, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah, pnu su'ulachem uvohu hara emari v'kol shechinav ba'arava ba'hara v'shol b'negu v'chof hayam eretz ha'kanani v'avonon, goes on to say, ad ha'nahar agadol nahar paras, to the nahar agadol nahar paras. So it's a little bit troubling. Why is that the Nahar HaGadol? The Nahar Paras is the Nahar HaGadol. Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, very strange that we would call it the Nahar HaGadol. It's not. Of the four Naharos that are mentioned in Parshas Bereishis, it is the smallest of the four. So no, what it means is Krav Legabe Dihina V'idhan. Go to the place, like the expression goes, you go to the person who's just covered his body in oil, who's anointed himself in oil, you'll likely have a little bit of the oil rub off on him, right? You shake the guy's hand and your hand will be a little bit oily. So that which is close to Eretz Yisrael, which is the Eretz HaGadol, which is this wonderful land, so will also be chashuv by virtue of its closeness, of its proximity to Eretz Yisrael. That's why we call it Nahar HaGadol, even though it's in fact not bigger, it's just close to Eretz Yisrael. Be Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Evan Melech Kemel. A very similar teaching that even though the Eved of the Melech has a certain chashivus, because very often the Eved of the Melech represents the Melech. So too, the Nar Pras, which is Meshamesh Eretz Yisrael, not just proximity, but it actually provides for Eretz Yisrael, also has a chashivus, and therefore it's called Nahar HaGadol. And then the Mishnah went on to discuss Chen V'ni Al Pinkaso, that a guy says, you know, to a storekeeper, give my son two sa'a of wheat, or give my workers a sela of ma'os, and the storekeeper claims he already gave it. The shliach says, I never got it, and the balabais claims that he's out. And now they both want money from the balabais. So the halach is who nishba v'notel, the heim nishba in v'notel. So Tanya, at least that's Tanya Kamashita. Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Toreach Shvua Zu Lama. So it's unclear exactly what the Gemara is asking over here. The way Rashi understands we're asking is, why were the Chacham Masak in such a takana that the Poalim and the Chenveni are both going to take a Shvua? One of them is definitely going to be a Shvua L'Sheker. Right? That's what Rashi seems to assume. Meaning it's not clear whether he holds like Ben Nanas in the Mishnah, that they both take without a Shvua, because you can't have both of them taking a Shvua L'Sheker. I mean, you can't have two opposing parties both taking a Shvua, because then you know there's a Shvua L'Sheker. Well, that point was already made in the Mishnah. It was made by one of the Tanayim in the Mishnah. So maybe that's what that's all Rebbe is trying to say, like Ben Nanas in the Mishnah, that no, you can't have them both take a Shvua, and therefore neither should take a Shvua. Or maybe no, maybe he's saying only the Poalim should be Nishba Venotel, and the Chenveni maybe doesn't get anything. And the reason the Chenveni won't get anything, Rashi explains later on, because the Chenveni is damaging himself by not giving the Poalim the money with Aden, that he did his business dealings in such a way where it'll be very easy to contradict him, and he's not going to be able to prove anything. So anyway, so Rebbe says Tarech Shvua Zulama. So Amar Le Rebbe Chiya Tanina Shneim Nishma Venotim Balabais, because it says we learned in the Mishnah this din that they're both Nishma Venotim Balabais. So unclear what the whole back and forth is. Meaning, if the question is why are they both Nishma Venotim, so because Azayzak the Mishnah. So it says in the Mishnah. So that's what causes some of the Rishonim to understand the question must have been something different. It's unclear. You have to work backwards. It says in the Mishnah they're both Nishba Balabais. Maybe he was asking for clarity of what it means that they're both Nishba Venotel. Who do they swear to, was the question. Does the chenveni swear to the poel, because that's who he interacted with. The chenveni interacted with the poel, didn't really interact directly with the balabais. And then we're clarifying, no, the Mishnah says they're both nishva to the balabais. Maybe something like that. Okay, kibla minei or lo kibla minei. It was, did Rebbe accept this answer from Rabbi Chia and accept that they're both nishva and notel or not? So Tashma, Titania, Rebbe Yomer Paul and Nishba and the Chenveni. The Paulim swear to the Chenveni that they didn't get the money. V'imisa, but if you would say that Rebbe accepted Rabbi Chia's answer and yells that they're both nishva and notel and balabayas, le balabayas mi baile, it shouldn't have said that he's nishva and Chenveni. It should have said that he's nishva to the balabayas. And so when it says the Chenveni, it sounds like the Chenveni is their Baldin, and he's the one that's losing out because of their Shavua. So it sounds like only since the Polim are Nishba V'notim, only the Polim are Nishba V'notim, the Chenveni loses out and doesn't get even B'Shavua because he should have given the money with Eidim. So Amar Rava, Polim Nishba V'Balabayis B'maimid Chenveni. No, the Polim swear the Balabayis with the Chenveni there, so that they could be embarrassed from him. Meaning, the Balabais doesn't know what really happened. He wasn't there. Who was there? The Pole was there, the Chenveni was there. So if you're going to take a Shavua, we want you to take the Shavua in front of the other party who's aware of what happened. So that if you're lying, you're taking a Shavua in front of a party that is fully aware of the fact that that you are in fact lying. So that's the that's why he takes the Shavua in front of the Chenveni. You know, we'll stop there, and Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up the Shtei Kitei Edim, HaMachisha Zu at the end of the day.